Blog Talk Radio.
Johnson.
And I'm somebody, Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Yeah, you are somebody. Oh my goodness, we're your hosts this morning. And we are in,
birthday,
thank you, yeah, yesterday was my birthday. I had a good time. Okay, so anyway, we are in the book study of the Complete Ascension Manual. How to Achieve Ascension in This Lifetime by Joshua David Stone. And we are laying the foundation to understand what is ascension, to really understand this, the hierarchy, the higher order on the spiritual plane, and what the spiritual journey is all about. So right now, we have gone through the first five initiations, and we're in the study of the sixth initiation, which is like really, really huge. And but this journey through this book is it's magnificent. It's absolutely magnificent. And I will tell you, as I mentioned to you guys yesterday, since he has laid out how the spiritual plane and the structure of our soul, you know, the hierarchy of our soul and our connection to our source, and the different levels of that connection to source, it just opened my eyes to a whole new understanding of I can't say it any simpler than this, of my understanding of my connection to God, equal in meaning source. And it has empowered me even more. You know, so a lot of times when I'm bringing this material to you, I realize, oh my God, this is so tedious, because many of you tune in the morning to be inspired. You know, I want to entertain you. I want to inspire you, but I also want to educate you. And it's not easy all the time to make things fun and lighthearted. Sometimes we have to get down into the nitty-gritty. And so I always ask for your patience, because laying this foundation in your understanding of you and the universe, and your connection to the universe, and your connection to creation is so important. We have talked about it in many different books at many different levels. But now this is a whole nother understanding of your path to enlightenment. And every master has gone through this path. So we've been dealing with your negative ego, right, Dr. Reggie?
We have.
And how to spiritualize your negative ego. We've really laid a lot of information out here to help prepare you for this next step. Dr. Reggie and I agreed that we would spend the time teaching you the materials to help you through your first initiation, which we covered earlier this week to talk about the first initiation. We're now talking about the sixth initiation, and we only agreed to say, okay, let's lay the foundation for the first initiation. So I hope you stick with us. I really do. I know that many of you are ready for this. Many of you are still looking for the money, and I totally understand that. You're still looking for the new car and the house, and I understand that. But when you understand who you really are,
you magnetize that to you.
You can create whatever you
want.
That's
right. It's so funny you say that. I talked to a client from England yesterday, and I told him on our radio show we were doing the Complete Essential Manual. He said, really, by Joshua David Stone? I said, yes. He said, I love that material.
Yes.
And so it really helped him to channel and not be afraid and to know what he's doing and to heal other people and to enlighten them. So it's a wonderful understanding. Once you get a whole panoramic view, a new vista on life,
yes,
and a thrilling excitement about who you are. It makes you feel good about the energy of the source running through you. It's very powerful.
It's extremely powerful.
And you don't worry about stuff as much. You don't get concerned about it. You know what I mean? Let it go.
I know, you know, I have a couple of my friends I've been talking to since we started this book study, and we're all just going, oh my God, it's just opening me up even more, and the joy. We just laugh and giggle at the joy, the reality of who we are and how fabulous we are.
It's true. It's a down-home Atlanta hallelujah moment.
Hallelujah.
So, it's really funny.
And you know what else I've noticed too, Dr. Benji? I've noticed that and you have just gotten so animated since we've been in this book study because you live this.
Yes.
And you have to, a lot of times, suppress
a lot of things.
A lot of this reality, I mean, this is your reality, and you suppress it a lot of times to deal with what we would call this reality. So I'm really happy to see that in you. Okay. Yes, go fix your machine and then come back. His little machine is beeping this morning. It loves his attention in the morning. So sometimes when you hear that beeping, behind us, that's what it is, and so he has to go check it, of course. So, as soon as he gets back, we'll go into our morning prayer so we can shift the energy and prepare for this. In the meantime, I see a couple of people in our chat room, but in the queue, and I just want to say good morning to you this morning. If you are area code 585, how are you this morning? Area code 585, are you there? Okay.
Trying to wake up.
Good morning, area code 214, how are you this morning?
Good morning, how are you all?
Oh, Ronisa, is that you?
Yes, how you doing?
Oh, my goodness. Are you on a commute this morning?
Am I what?
Are you commuting?
Yes, I'm at work now.
Oh, you at work. Okay.
I'm at work.
Well, all right.
Wow. Happy birthday. I sent you a happy birthday on Facebook. So happy birthday. Late birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know what? I want to let everybody know I'm really bad about getting on Facebook. My day is so busy. But if you sent me a birthday wish on Facebook, thank you so much. I will get on there probably this weekend. But I'm horrible about Facebook. It's too much.
But don't feel bad. I get on there all the time. Yeah. I just have to look at my calendar and I said, that's right. Her birthday. Oh my goodness, let me send it to her. I didn't think I was going to catch you yesterday, and I did. I caught the end of the show, like 10 minutes, and I didn't want to call you because I knew you had to go to work, so I didn't call.
Well, thank you so much. Well, listen, enjoy this book study. It's going to be great. If you missed some of the lessons, you know you can always get it on the archive.
Right. We miss you, Ronita.
We sure do.
I miss you all, too. I love you all. I said, oh, let me call in right now. When you started saying hi to everybody, I said, oh, let's hope she gets a chance to say hi to me. I said, I don't want to call in. I'd talk too long if I call in. It's good to hear from you all.
You too.
You too, sweetheart. I got one more person in here. Bye-bye. Good morning, Erico 410. How are you?
Good morning. This is Anna. I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good morning, Anna. Have you been following this book study?
No, I called the other morning. I was just able to call in again, just because I wanted to follow up on one the second question I had asked the other day. If that's okay.
Okay, what was the question?
I'm really struggling with my relationship with Scott, and I'm just trying to find out. It's almost like I'm coming to the reality this person is not compatible with me, but I'm having a really hard time letting this person go. I'm starting to feel like I'm not sure if I'm, contributing to the negativity, although I know he's, done some pretty damaging things here. So I'm just wondering, what is the best way to release this person without any more, damage to what's already been done?
I think
Scott has a lot of issues of his own.
Uh-huh.
And tried to bring those latent issues into the relationship. And Anna's having a problem dealing with his issues. And so it causes a lot of chaos and disruption in the whole structure.
Uh-huh.
So I think what she has to do, if she really wants to release him in love.
Mm-hmm.
No harm done. Just release him. If he wants to be free, Scott, you are free to be released from this relationship, and I can be free and loving. No questions asked. Just thank you very much for the lesson I learned about this, and you can go be free. And I can open the doors to a new and loving relationship. Thank you very much, and release it, and let go, and never think about it again.
It's what we're telling you now, Anna, it's forgiveness work. And forgiveness is not about making the other person wrong. Forgiveness is really about loving you,
mm-hmm.
and loving the person.
I'm really trying, and it's been such a battle. And I know some of the ways I've behaved, and out of my hurt and frustration of not getting things resolved, I know it's not me, and I know this isn't my highest good. I mean, I care about this person. I loved him, but I just don't feel like.
That's why you let it go in love. And it's not easy, but you have to let it go. With all the emotional hurt, those things stick to you, and that hurts a lot. But what you have to do is to let it go and resolve it. And the best way is to say, I love you, but I'm releasing you. I love you enough to release you and let you be free. Thank you for being in my life. I want nothing else to do with this. Please don't call, don't text, don't write. I'm done with this, and I really wish you all the luck in the world. And thank you so much. And release him and be done. If you don't do that, you'll keep him in your consciousness, and he will never leave you alone. You've got to let this go.
I guess what I'm struggling with is is there something I'm doing wrong or something I could have done differently or better?
No, what you need to do right is to say, I'm releasing this. End of story.
Okay.
If you dwell on this, keep it alive. You don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on it. Don't think about this. Let him be free in love to let him go.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm really trying. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, good morning. Listen, I'm sorry about that. We had a power surge here. I'm actually calling you from my cell phone, so I can't see our board and take any more calls. I really apologize. So I don't know if you guys are even hearing me now. It's really weird. And everything, the computers.
Everything went off.
Everything went off and nothing's coming back on.
No flash.
It's really bad. Anyway, I love this technology. But Anna, Dr. Reggie was saying, you're not doing anything wrong. Really, just focus on what did you learn from this experience. I think, number one, you learned to love you more. You learned that you clearly understand this person is not for your highest good. So it's the lesson well learned. And where the way you shifted to that forgiveness is saying, thank you for revealing to me, you know, that I deserve better, you know, to reach my highest good. Thank you for this lesson. And at some point, maybe we agreed that you would come to help me learn this lesson and to appreciate and value the divinity within me.
Amen.
Okay? And I thank you. And say that over and over. Rather than all this and all that, just move into a state of grace and thankfulness for the experience, because everything that we experience is really for our soul development to evolve.
And it's a blessing.
And it is a blessing. So God has blessed you, believe it or not, and helped you on your spiritual journey.
And provide contrast about what you do not want.
Exactly.
And you say, thank you, Scott, for providing that for me.
Exactly.
Now I know what to look for my highest good.
Yes.
And to bless another person in my life.
Yes.
Amen. And so it is.
And so it is. So I think with just what we said right there, that that was a wonderful prayer in itself.
It was.
And because oftentimes we get caught up in drama, but when you understand who you are and that your whole purpose here on planet Earth is to evolve spiritually, you begin to look at these situations and your relationships with other people differently. That's what's so powerful about this ascension process. Because every step we take, we're moving towards ascension. Every experience allows us to grow and move towards our ascension. So we're not going to block that, thinking something negative and holding on to the negative experience. Oh, I've got a real yummy story to tell, but I'm not ready to share it yet. But to see how the cycle of life evolves and situations evolve that to allow you to grow and express.
True.
So what do you want to do your morning prayer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to view things from different and new perspectives spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Let us look at everyone as a sacred creation of you and not try to force our will on them and vice versa. Let us live and grow in the true ascension of who we are, in the power of who we are, in the magnificence, in the beauty, and the splendor of who our soul really is in us and in you. We are the royal diadem, the royal crown, the faceted diamond that shines in the darkness. We are the light and the beacon of you who in us gave us light and energy. Thank you for restitution and power and ascension. As we walk the path of ascension right now, we thank you for it. Let us remember the little kindergarten rhyme. Put your hand in the hand of the man that stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man that calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently. So put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Let us know the Christ consciousness, the blueprint of who we are, is in us already. We need ask or seek nothing, because you are everything and all in all. We believe this is so, and so it is.
Woo! So it is. Oh, my gosh. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Okay, so ascension, he finally gets to the definition. Ascension is a fifth dimensional state of consciousness. Ascension, in essence, is the uniting of the soul extension or your personality with spirit. It is the merging of the incarnated spirit personality with the I am presence or the monad.
Mm.
It's a fifth dimensional state of consciousness.
And that's where we're going now, to the fifth dimension.
Yes. So a person does not have to be in perfect health to ascend. There are many people with very serious illnesses who have ascended.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something that's even called a delayed ascension. And a delayed ascension is when a person leaves the physical body, but in the first 2 hours after death, the masters come and they work really, really extensively with the adept to help him or to help her to achieve ascension. And this occurs when an adept was close to ascension but died right before it occurred. So what happens after we ascend? Well, we gain the ability to serve, and it is just extremely powerful. When we ascend and we remain on earth, we are no longer in our earthly physical bodies, but rather in our glorified spiritual body. And the physical body is changed in an instant by the total immersion in the great God flame.
That's what Jesus said when he said, you will not die, but you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
That's what he meant.
You'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And so his ascension, I mean, he came and he lived a lifetime. And you know, as we go through a lot of esoteric teachings, we realize that he had multiple lifetimes before the one that is recorded in the Bible for him to reach that state of enlightenment, and how he died and came back in 3 days in this new light body.
That's right.
Okay, so the ascended master, Serapis Bey, he's in charge of the ascension retreat in Luxor. He describes the process of ascension in Elizabeth Clare Prophet's book on ascension when he says, okay, the blood in the veins changes to liquid golden light. The throat chakra glows with an intense blue-white light.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual eye in the center of the forehead, it becomes an elongated God flame rising upward. The garments of the individual are completely consumed, and he takes on the appearance of being clothed in a white robe, the seamless garment of the Christ. And sometimes the long hair of the soul appears to be gold, pure gold, on the ascending one. And then again, the eyes of any color may become a beautiful electric blue or pale violet. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
So during our ascension, we retain full consciousness of the entire ritual. And once we ascend, we become an instant emissary of the Great White Brotherhood. The entire process of ascension and of turning our entire being into light, it takes about 30 minutes. I asked Gwajgu what the difference was between merging with the light after death and the first stage of the bardo. Now, the bardo is when you merge after death. And merging with the light during the ascension, he wanted to know the difference. And he said that they were basically the same, except that during ascension, when we merge completely with the light, we are still in physical bodies on earth. When we merge with the light in the first stage of the bardo or after death experience, we have left our bodies. And Dwajgul said that it is possible to achieve ascension by merging with the light upon death of the physical body. So we have been told that there were over 100,000 souls who have achieved ascension in Earth's history. You know, he says it seems like a lot to him. I say it doesn't seem like that many.
Mm-hmm.
John the Beloved was the only disciple of Jesus who ascended in that lifetime. Dwaj Kuhn calls the ascension flame the cosmic fire. He said that it is permissible in an unascended state to call forth the cosmic fire, but you can only call in just a little bit because about the size of a match flame. Because if you bring in too much cosmic fire too soon, it can burn out the physical body. So it would almost be like a spontaneous combustion, Dr. Ray.
It is. Mm-hmm. We called it in a meeting we had in Cerritos, California, when one of those tea light candles, and it just, we called it up and asked for God and God to be there. And we called it up, you should have seen the flame on this thing. It just got real huge, and people jumped back in awe, like, oh, my God, because we called it up. So I called it up and didn't burn me or scare me, but it was a huge flame, and everybody else freaked out. But I was used to it. I wanted it to happen.
I know. You're phenomenal. I love. What he says is that we can ask the night before we go to bed in the inner plane for preparation and training for our ascension.
Yes.
At the end of this chapter, he gives you about 20 or 22 steps. Excuse me?
Okay.
Oh, about 22 steps.
Chair.
Oh, okay. To accelerate your ascension. And they are all things that you do at night before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into meditation, that you ask for certain things that can help accelerate your ascension. We'll go through some of those, but I want you to get the book. I'm not going to go through all of this with you.
Right,
you need
exactly.
The book. If you're serious about this, get the book. He says that ascension is really a fabulous, and a fantastic achievement. But I want to remind you again that there are, in actuality, there are 9 initiations in our planetary system, 7 of which can be taken on the Earth plane. The passing of these 9 initiations allows us to leave the cosmic physical plane and then begin working on the initiations of the 7 cosmic planes. So I would say it is very hard to be anything but humble when we see how far we have to go to ultimately return to be in union with the Godhead. But ascension is probably only 3/4 of an inch up to a 10-inch ruler in terms of how far we have to evolve, okay? But on the other side of the coin, the achievement of ascension as compared to the evolution of the rest of humanity is very, very great achievement indeed. It is always important to keep these 2 sides of the coin in perspective. To desire this and to work at it in this lifetime is a wonderful, wonderful achievement.
It sure is.
But to think that this is the end would be foolish.
No.
It's just the beginning.
Right.
It is just the beginning.
Even for planetary ascension.
Yeah. So, he tells this story. I'm going to read it just the way he tells it because I thought it was a beautiful story. I would like to end this commentary on ascension by sharing a little story about a woman by the name of Anna Lee Scarone. And Anna Lee was a Mormon. She was an elderly lady of great light, and she wrote a very beautiful book called Ye Are God, which was really a channeling of her God self. And the Mormon church didn't like this most precious book, and they excommunicated her from her church, even at her elderly age. She was very distraught over this, but she had spent her whole life serving the church. And one day she told her roommate that she thought the angels would be coming for her soon. And so she wanted to put her things in order. And very soon after this, one night, very late, her roommate woke up from a very sound sleep and had the impulse to check on Anna Lee. And when she got to Anna Lee's door, she saw from under the door a brilliant white light, such as she had never seen before. But her intuition told her not to bother Anna Lee at this moment, so she went back to bed. Well, in the morning, she went to see Anna Lee, and when she knocked and opened the door, Anna Lee was not there. Anna Lee's false teeth were on the table, which was very strange because Anna Lee never went anywhere without her false teeth. The entire day went by, and Anna Lee never returned. So the roommate called her family, and they came over that night. And the entire family was sitting in the living room when all of a sudden the door opened, and Anna Lee stood before them in tattered clothes. She immediately said to them, "Do you believe I have translated?" Now, translated is another word for ascended. Do you believe I have ascended? And they all said yes. And Anna Lee blessed them for their faith. And immediately she transformed herself into a beautiful robe of white light. And her family stood there aghast as she disappeared right in front of them. Isn't that a beautiful story?
It is, but what's amazing to me, the similarities of Christ when he did this in 3 days. And people saw him, but they were not allowed to touch his body.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Don't do that." He said, "You see me." And doubting Thomas was allowed to touch and felt this was really the Christ, but they couldn't touch him. He was ready to ascend out of the physical body into the translated body of who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing happened to Anna Lee. And it's amazing that the church excommunicated her because that whole religion of the Mormon faith was founded on Joseph Smith, who saw visions and gold plates that were buried in the church yard, and it became a religion. Why wouldn't they believe her? That's really strange.
I don't know.
People get embedded to one belief and stick with it, and that's the end of it. Nobody else can today have a miracle or revelation. So it's amazing to me how people are not going to change, but it's okay.
It's
about
is.
You changing.
It is. It totally is. And you know what? It's always a gentle reminder that there's a bigger picture.
Yes.
And so they and to remind us of that.
Yes.
One of the abilities that comes with ascension or is available with a little training is teleportation. Before you ascend, you can take teleportation classes on the inner plane, okay? And this will prepare you for the type of ability along with bilocation and transfiguration. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Lee's pointing because I know that he has bilocated and
in front of you.
In front of me, yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's freaky for me too.
I know.
It was.
But after you ascend, you don't have to eat food or get a haircut or shave. But many ascended masters will continue to partake in such activities because of the nature of their service work.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of the earth, he tells us again, approximately 100,000 have ascended. There will be many waves of mass ascension. It started in October of 1995. And it has continued, and really and truthfully, I think we are still continuing. We've had a couple of guests on our show who've talked about that ascension or the state of enlightenment is now possible in this lifetime, and that it is speeding up.
Yes.
Right. So I want to touch upon one more thing. He says that there are four ways to build up your light quotient. The first way is to build up the physical and etheric nervous system. Because, see, when you ascend, you become light. And he gave us the percentages at each stage of our initiation where our bodies are actually changing. You know, a lot of women have these hot flashes and a lot of symptoms of ascension really sound like menopause. When I'm teaching with you guys and reading from a lot of these books, I get extremely hot. It is a thermal heat. And it's my hands get hot, my feet get really hot, but it's activated by the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to increase your light quotient, and he's telling us how. You want to, because this is to build up the physical and the etheric nervous system. The second way is to reabsorb the power and energy aspects of the soul that have been given away in past lives or in this life. The third way is to polish the rough edges of your character within the four body system. That's why the soul psychology book that we went through, go back and listen to those archives to how to spiritualize your negative ego.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth way is to call on the ascended masters for help in building your light quotient during meditation and sleep time. Jesus is an ascended master.
Sananda,
Jesus, the Christ. Many of you are familiar with that energy and you resonate with that energy. Ask Jesus for help. He says you're my brother and sister. Don't hesitate to ask. And we're going to cover a couple of other techniques a little later. He also said he asked Vaivamas if psychic faculties open up after ascension. And he said that they do in terms of clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and so on. But one of the very important aspects of purifying yourself is in preparation for ascension is to make sure that you have cleared out all elementals. They are the type of thought form that latches onto the aura, the glands or organs, and it literally sucks energy away from them, much as an alien implant does. The meditation you can call to Vaivamas and other ascended masters to ask them to clear any unwanted elementals from your field. Tomorrow, Cindy Bentley will be here. Cindy Bentley is a powerful healer. And she, you know, I realize now that the universe orchestrated for her to be here on our show as we go through these books about your initiation to help clear your energy field of things such as the elementals. And she's here every month on the second Friday, so she'll be here tomorrow. And I urge you to call in if you're seriously on the path to enlightenment to have this energy work done, okay? And really and truthfully, she can only do so much here. But you call her and book an appointment with her to do this energetic work. She talks a lot about implants.
Mm-hmm.
And you see here, he's referring to these implants and how they suck your energy. And if you're on the spiritual path, they are attracted to your light. Here you are increasing your light quotient, and they are here, those implants attach themselves. It's a thought form as well, okay? So don't get freaked out by it. This is something natural, but look, the universe has provided people that can help you through this and clear this for you. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to really get to that part today because I know she'll be here tomorrow and you should take advantage of it. At a certain point in your ascension, you will reach a point that they call spiritual ascension, which is a precursor to the actual ascension. Spiritual ascension is a later stage in the fifth initiation, and it is when you have really ascended on the spiritual level, but are now waiting for it to manifest on the physical level. We are close to the end here. I just want to cover a couple of things. I'm going to share with you the number one technique for building your light quotient and accelerating your path for ascension. He says that he investigated his own personal path of ascension and attempted to learn everything that he could about the process and the mechanics. And one of the most interesting things that he came across in his exploration of the inner plane was the existence of ascension seats or ascension chambers. There are many of them all over the planet, but there are five that he found to be the most powerful. And these, they're like seats or tables or columns that you sit or you stand or you lie down in. And the masters, through some kind of higher technology, they pulse light through the mechanism to raise your vibration. And there is one on the Commander Ashtar spaceship. Now, we worked with a guy who worked with the Ashtar spaceship and did these powerful healings with that work. Now, some of this may get really strange for you guys, but you know, remember that there's a lot going on in the unseen world, which equals in the spiritual plane. But he says you want to, you can go to the Great Pyramid of Giza. You can go to Mount Shasta. That's where he actually lived. But you do this in meditation or at night while you sleep, and you want to be taken to these ascension seats, and you can switch around and figure out which one works. Maybe Dr. Reggie will do a guided meditation. We'll have a special guided meditation to take us to these seats. We'll do that next week.
Okay.
Dr. Reggie, take us to our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the energy of ascension and enlightenment, which we have in us, ready to scream and come out and be free. Thank you for the power of the stepping of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us more aware of who we are and guide us to ascension gracefully and safely. We thank you, Father, for the Ascended Master Sananda, known as Jesus, to light our way in this wonderful power light of Christ. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. I can't play the music. But don't forget to call in tomorrow. Tweet your friends. Let them know that Cindy Bentley will be here. God bless you.